Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning will be taken from our gospel reading in Luke chapter 2. So this first Sunday after Christmas is something in between. You know, it's not Christmas Day anymore, but it's not New Year's. It's not Christmas anymore, Christmas Day anymore, and it's not Epiphany yet either. You know, so it's something in between. You know, in the rest of our lives, maybe we feel that as well. Is it work time or is it holiday? And so this week kind of gets a little bit mashed up. But if we take our lead from our liturgical calendar, we see that there is indeed great purpose in this day. You know, during this week, there's all kinds of things that are going on the church calendar. You have the festival of St. Stephen and St. John. You have the slaughter of the holy innocents, but always on this first Sunday after Christmas, the readings are either about the slaughter of the holy innocents or about the presentation of Jesus in the temple as we read today. And by that, we can see exactly what the church is doing. The church is not only seeking to continue the celebration of the birth of our Lord, but also seeking to answer that question, who is this child? What does it mean that God has given to this gift, and why is it that he is here? And the way that God helps do that for us is through the law. You know, the law is something that gives structure and order to our lives, especially in those in-between times. Those times where we vacillate, times where it's a little bit more chaotic, the law is a real blessing to us because it brings that structure and that order into our lives. And so God's law is, in fact, a blessing to us. And it's not something that should be dismissed or marginalized in any way. Sometimes maybe we have a tendency to do that. We have the priority of the gospel. And we place our focus there. But that does not mean that we should in any way dismiss the law or set it aside. Because God very much uses the law as a blessing to us. And he works in and through that portion of his word in order to bring blessing to us. As a matter of fact, it's a very important part of our reading for today. As you read through it, you see the five times the law is mentioned. And as a matter of fact, it's used as a frame for our text for today. The first verse says that when the days of purification were over, it was time for them to go up to the temple to do for them according to the law. And then the passage ends by saying, when they had done everything according to the law, then they departed back to Galilee. So you see that the law is a frame beginning and ending our text for today, which helps us to identify the fact that this is an important theme in these verses. And so what I'd like to do with you today is just to take a little bit of time and see how is it that God uses the law as a blessing for us. And the first thing that we can notice then is that God uses the law in order to teach us or to remind us. Let me just read again the first couple verses of our text. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So we have the 40-day-old Jesus being brought into the temple, because that was the number of days for purification of a woman after giving birth, 40 days. So after that period of time had been completed, Jesus being 40 days old, they bring him into the temple in order to do for Mary and Joseph according to the law, to give a sacrifice for the purification of Mary, and then to offer the redemption price for Jesus, because the firstborn male needed to be redeemed. And that's what our Old Testament reading for today is all about. Again, just two verses here to refresh our memory. Verse 12, "And you shall set apart to the Lord all that opens first the womb. All the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons shall be redeemed." So there you have the law, but we ask why. Why would God do this? Why would God tell them that they need to do this continually? Well, you can imagine the scene. There's a family, an average family. And for every family, when a new animal is born, it's a significant time because it means another resource for the family, whether that be a beast of burden or one that gives milk or food or even just to sell. So this is an important thing when an animal is born. And so the family gathers around, and the animal is born. And the father notices, he says, oh, it's a male. And so happens that it's the firstborn of this particular animal, firstborn male. And so the father says, okay, we have to redeem it. We have to get a lamb, and we have to take it, and we have to offer it as a sacrifice for this animal. Or if the family cannot afford that, then they just have to put the animal to death. And you can imagine the children asking, why? Why, Dad, do we have to do this? It seems like it doesn't make any sense. What a waste. You know, why does this have to be done? And you see, this is the key moment. It's the teachable moment for the father and the family. He said, I'll tell you why we do this. Because long ago, our people were slaves in the land of Egypt. And they wouldn't let us go. And so God came, and through the 10 plagues, he tried to convince Pharaoh to let us go. But Pharaoh was hard-hearted. And so finally, as the 10th plague, God killed all the firstborn. Except for those who had faith in God, who slaughtered a lamb and took the blood and put it on the doorposts. And the danger of death then passed over them. And you see, those children, those firstborn, were redeemed. And so now, in our time, as we have come into our land, God tells us to continue to do that in order to remember what he did back then. To remember the salvation of God bringing us out of that land and make us his people. The law was meant to teach and to remind. And so it is for us today as well. That God still commands us to do things for the very same purposes. He says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He tells us to come into the Lord's house and worship. Why? Well, there's two reasons for it. One, in Exodus chapter 20, it tells us to remember that God is the creator of all, and that on the seventh day he rested, and so too you shall rest, and you shall worship the Lord your God. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 5, it also tells us that we do this in order to remember God's salvation. Again, remembering that you were slaves in the land of Egypt. And you weren't free to do what you wanted to do. But God set you free. And now we gather together in order to worship, in order to remember the salvation that God has given for us. You see, our very gathering together on Sundays is a teaching of God, that we might not forget what he has done for us. And when we come to the Lord's house, we are told to give an offering. Why? To remind ourselves that God gives us everything that we have. That it does not come primarily because of what we do, but because of the grace of God for us. And that in thankfulness for what he has done, that we are to return to him a portion of that which he has first given to us. To remember. And he commands us to receive the Lord's Supper. Why? again, to remember that which God has done for us, but particularly through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. You see, those commands of God are still important for us as an opportunity to teach us, to help us to remember so that we do not forget, because that's our proclivity. It is to forget. And so God gives us these things to teach us and to help us to remember the grace of our God. Second, then God uses the law to lead us to salvation. Luke, in our text for today, as well as the other gospel writers in their own way, in their gospels, make sure that we understand that Jesus fulfilled the law in its totality. And why is that important? It's important because that has to happen for Jesus to be our Savior. If Jesus in some way has not fulfilled the law, has not done what a human being was supposed to do, then he would not qualify as the sacrifice and the substitute for us. And so he had to fulfill the law completely in order that he can be our Savior. And so Luke goes out of his way to make sure that we understand that that happened for Jesus from the time, from the very earliest of the days in his life. And this is why Joseph and Mary are chosen to be his parents, because they are righteous and devout people, and they will do for Jesus when he cannot do for himself, when he's very young, make sure that the law is fulfilled. And so even from the time when he was just little, in his circumcision on the eighth day, in this redemption when he was 40 days old, Jesus fulfills the law and does everything that is required of God, of a human being. But what is of most significance here is that as we think about this story, that the one who he is here redeemed becomes the Redeemer. The one who is redeemed becomes the Redeemer. So Jesus, the firstborn male, has to be brought to the temple and a sacrifice made for him. A lamb has to be offered in his stead. Or if the family cannot afford it, then a substitute can be made of two turtle doves or two pigeons. And that was the case with Jesus because Mary and Joseph could not afford it. So there is no lamb in this story, except for the fact that Jesus is the lamb. I think it's part of what's going on here, that Jesus is the lamb. Remember what John the Baptist says years later? Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So Jesus is that lamb, and he will be offered as a sacrifice that he might redeem all of mankind, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. And so Jesus is our salvation. You see that God uses the law in order to lead us to that salvation in Jesus Christ. And that then brings us to our final thought for today, that God uses the law in order to do his work through us and in this world. We notice the importance of obedience in this text. We already talked about Mary and Joseph. It's very significant that they were righteous and devout, that they did according to the law. God used their obedience to the law in order to do his work, that Jesus might have all things fulfilled for him according to the law, that he might be our Savior. But then in the story beyond that, there's also Simeon. Simeon, who is again described like the other Old Testament saints in this past, in these early chapters of Luke, as being devout and righteous. But he is one who is waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does that mean? Well, that means that he's a person who believes God's word, knows God's word and is waiting for that word to be fulfilled. He's a man of faith and expectation, so he's looking for this. And the Holy Spirit then rests upon him. And so God uses this to cause Simeon to be in the right place at the right time. Because he promised Simeon, you know, you're not going to die before you see the Lord's Christ. But because Simeon was obedient to God and his will, Simeon then is in the right place at the right time when the Christ comes into the temple. And he takes that child up into his arms, and he affirms for Mary and Joseph and for all who will hear that, yes, this is the one. This is the one that is promised. My eyes have seen your salvation. And then he says to Mary and to Joseph, and this child will be for the rise and the fall of many. He will be a stumbling block for many. They will trip over him to their own destruction. And yet many will be raised up because of him. He's destined for the fall and the rise of many. Christ is the crux. He is the dividing point of all humanity. And then, of course, there's Anna as well. The same thing basically is happening with her, and that she is one who's living in the temple day by day, does not depart from there, serving the Lord. And when she sees Simeon come up, she's talked with Simeon before, they know, and she sees this thing happening, and she comes up and she hears everything that Simeon says. And what is Anna's role? Anna's role is to proclaim, to tell everybody who is listening, everybody else who is looking for the consolation of Israel, that God is on the move, that he is at work, and it's through this child. And again, as we've seen in the other cases, God works the same today through his law. That through our obedience and the obedience of others, God is at work. That those who are faithful to him and their faith is acted out in following of the commands of God, that God works through them to do his purposes in this world, to touch the lives of other people. I'm not saying that God can't or doesn't work in other ways as well. He does. But this is certainly one way that God works. And it's important for us to recognize that if we are deliberately outside of God's will, that it's kind of hard for God to work because we're blocking his actions to work in and through us. So it's the following of the law is important for us. It is an expression of our faith. It is the continuance of our faith and the natural thing that is to happen. But then it is also that opportunity for God to work in and through us as we are faithful to him. And so we have the role of the law in our lives. The gospel is priority. That's first. That's where our salvation comes through Jesus Christ and what God has done in Jesus Christ as we receive that in faith. But the law is also important before and afterwards. It is the way that God works in our lives to teach us, to remind us, to help keep us in the faith. It is the way that God uses to lead us to the gospel that we might receive it. And afterwards, it is also the way that God works in and through his people. In Jesus' name, amen.